It is the dog days of summer. If you don't know, just go outside. But the fact is, this is not the quiet period that sometimes you expect for the economy or for the marketplace. In fact, this week is incredibly busy. 40% of the technology stocks are going to report. In fact, 40% of the S&P 500 will report their numbers. The Amazons and Apples and Metas of the world, the policy makers, not just in the U.S., but also in Japan and the U.K. are meeting. So it's hard to know what we pay attention to. I know who knows, though. Patrick J. O'Hare, Chief Market Analyst for Briefing.com, follows all this. Pat O'Hare joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, David. It's great to be back with you.
So it's not just that. I mean, we got, what, OPEC Plus and the employment numbers coming Friday. Where should our attention be?
Well, I think the attention is going to be on the earnings calendar in particular. You also have Microsoft, Meta Platforms, Amazon, and Apple, right? They're all reporting this week. And based on the reaction to the Tesla and the Alphabet report, I think there's a vested interest in seeing not only in what those companies are going to report, but how the stock prices react to it. So, you know, you could have some good numbers, but you could have some bad reactions. And, you know, you have a market that's been in a rotational mindset. And I think it's looking for either some validation of that rotation or some justification to come back into those mega cap tech names. And a lot of them been, you know, sold pretty hard. And so I guess the benefit that these four companies this week might have that Tesla and Alphabet didn't have is that they've been marked down in front of their earnings reports. And therefore, maybe, you know, a reaction won't be as negative as it was for those two companies. But that will all be dependent on, you know, what these companies ultimately do report and sort of what they're saying about the outlook.
Yeah, I guess so. But as you point out, they've been marked down and maybe discounting what could be some bad numbers. And so then trying to gauge the reaction is very difficult. And it's not a technology company. McDonald's came with numbers Monday morning. And the numbers were terrible. The earnings missed, the revenues missed, same store sales were low expectations, and the stock went up. Now, I don't know that I understand that.
you know, you bring up a good point. You know, as a market analyst, you know, I get confused by it as well, frankly. So you have, say, let's look at General Motors, you know, last week, very good results. And that stock sold off hard on the report. And the notion was that investors were essentially concluding that that's as good as it's going to get for General Motors for the time being because of, you know, an anticipatory slowdown, not only just for vehicle demand, but just in the economy in general, that's going to, you know, slow consumer spending. And so you saw that reaction. Now, McDonald's is a kind of viewed as a turnaround situation as they sort of get back to the roots of providing some good value-based menu offerings that would ultimately help drive stronger sales, both you know, at the retail level and franchise level and on a comparable store basis. And so there's some hope that, you know, McDonald's has the right turnaround strategy in place here. And that's why you're seeing that positive response today.
You know, it's rare to drop the sequencing of concern down on a Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meeting, which starts Tuesday and I guess ends on Wednesday. But the expectations are pretty low. Is that why we're discounting that? There's no chance of a cut in. You think there's nothing they could say at the news conference that would spook the market?
Right. I don't think there's anything in this particular meeting where they're going to, quote, spook the market. If anything, they might, you know, excite the market. Highly unlikely based on Fed funds futures pricing that they will actually cut rates at this meeting. Highly probable that they will in September based on Fed funds futures market pricing. And there's 100% probability in of a 25 basis point cut in September. And this is a Fed, and particularly the Fed chair, I think is very in tune with market expectations. And, you know, they don't want to surprise the market, certainly not in a negative fashion. And so it's likely that what we'll hear in the commentary, probably at the press conference, is it's a little bit stronger hint of a leaning toward a rate cut in September. And that has been getting priced into the equity market here. It's been one of the major drivers of why we've run to record highs here earlier in the month anyway, and certainly why you've seen the Treasury market also reprice with yields coming down sharply this month as a result of the, well, not just the rate cut expectation, but also as a result of some enthusiasm for the reality that inflation starting to, come back. Well, not starting to, but has come down sharply and is getting back toward that 2% target that the Fed is looking for.
So the employment numbers that come out on Friday, another historically another thing that we pay very close attention to. Are we looking for sort of the reinforcement of the Goldilocks scenario? Not too hot, not too cold, job growth, but not so much that the Fed worries or something.
You said it. The soft landing idea has been instrumental in also feeding this market's run to a record high. And that being the idea that the economy can withstand these rate hikes that the Fed has instituted since March of 2022 without running into a recession. And you get a gradual weakening in the labor market that helps promote that idea. And that's what we've been seeing, really. There's been some loosening, but it's certainly, with a 4% unemployment rate, you're still down closer to historically low levels than you are to levels that you might see, in some type of recession environment. And you are still getting some positive gains as it relates to real income, and that helps promote discretionary spending. And so it's been a nice balance in terms of what we've been seeing in the labor market when juxtaposed with the aggressive rate hikes we've had from the Fed. And so there's been a lot of confidence in this notion that the economy can indeed, manage a soft landing here. And the Fed has been getting a lot of plaudits for that. Even though they were late to the game in terms of raising rates, it seems like they've been doing a, pretty good job thus far anyway, and managing the better outcome and getting to a soft landing.
Yeah, I mean, soft landings are really, really rare. I mean, we've talked about them, sort of casually, but you're right. I mean, the point's well made. And maybe this takes us back to earnings, because one of the arguments I'd been hearing earlier in the year, late last year, is, oh, you just wait. Wait till you get deep into corporate earnings season. That's where the negative surprises are. These companies are not prepared. They haven't been prepared. And you're really going to see some negative surprises. We haven't really seen that many negative surprises.
No, you haven't. In fact, we have, according to FactSet, you've had more companies, surpass expectations than historical average. But if there's any kind of note of caution in that, it's that they're just not beating estimates as much as they have typically have on average, right? So, all right, that's, looking for some type of fly in the ointment if you're, really looking for something negative. I mean, but you have companies, the estimate's gone up since the end of the second quarter. We're at a blended earnings growth rate of 9.8%. When the quarter started, it was 8.9%. So, you're getting that earnings estimate trend moving in the right direction still. And that's really important for a market that trades with a, relatively rich valuation. The market's going to move on earnings and earnings estimate trends. And even though the pace of estimate revisions in terms of upward revisions might be slowing, you're still not seeing that roll over. And that's important here. And so that's why when you get the guidance out of these mega cap companies, which have been such strong drivers of the overall earnings growth through the S&P 500, that's why that's really important. But thus far in this, second quarter earnings reporting period, we've had some reasonably good news still, as far as it relates to not only what is being reported, but what we're hearing about the outlook.
And then only because I know I can throw anything at you and you can handle it. The OPEC Plus Joint Ministerial Monitoring Committee is going to meet this week. And the reason I mention that is because oil prices have been down, I think, 3 weeks in a row. And I noticed they started Monday down again, too. I mean, that's good if you're a consumer and worried about gasoline prices or storing up heating oil for the winter or something like that. But sometimes it's not a very good commentary on the economy, or in this case, the world economy.
Well, and you can also throw in copper prices on top of that, right? Copper prices have been backing up too a bit. And I think that that's really not, that's also a reflection of what's happening in China, right? China's having its economic problems. And so you see some demand slow down there. And that, of course, works its way back into crude prices and copper prices, certainly. So it is noteworthy, right? It's something to keep an eye on. And it's been, a steady retreat in those commodities. And it's something that, as we contemplate this notion of a soft landing versus a hard landing, we do have to take that into account. But I wouldn't call it alarming at this point, but certainly something to be watchful of as it relates to that economic outlook.
Well, we've certainly got a lot to watch this week and keeping up with earnings. I know you do too. Patrick O'Hare is Chief Market Analyst for Briefing.com. We appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Anytime, David. Thank you.
Thanks for more of a conversation. Go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.